Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, ear jockeys. Do you have a lapel in need of a pin? Well, have I got some news for you. We have partnered with Penny Arcade, and we are making brand new Dragon Friend pins available now from our store for some money. We'll be shipping them internationally, so if you want one, hop to dragonfriends.com and have a look. It's four faces squished together, rendered in metal and enamel. What more could you ask for? I don't know, 45 minutes or so of Dragon Friends? Here's the show.
Seconds have passed since the Dragon Friends took their first steps into the dark wetways, the series of maintenance passages behind the walls of their former ship, the Heart of Glass. The air is filled with the scent of death and lilac, and the air is sticky. Sticky with an all-familiar carnal lust and with intrigue. Why has Lady Casilda taken our brave adventurer's ship? What cocktails is Dobson Dugnut, master of beverages, favoured of our mournful mistress and chief sexual consort of the Lady Casilda, mixing up in the bridge? And are they alone in these narrow passages? As the Dragon Friends set out in these dark wet ways, what mysteries lie ahead of them in the dark, wet and steam of the Heart of Glass?
It is so wet in here.
Is it like a sauna? What? Give us the vibe. What temperature is it in the wet ways?
I reckon it's about 50 degrees Celsius.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, I guess it shuts off people.
Let's say it's it's like the middle of the desert at midday.
No, but it's like a really sticky wet heat. Let's say 45. Like when Sydney has a heat wave day, like that kind of unpleasant stickiness you can't get away from.
Is it what you imagine the temperature is like in like Singapore or something?
Singapore.
It's quite a humid.
Real Port Douglas vibes.
Yes. And that horny smell that you mentioned.
Is that working for anyone?
has that pervaded the wet ways as well? Have our wet ways too been soiled with carnal lust?
There's the smell that you could smell the rest of the ship is in these wet ways, and you sort of realise.
God damn it!
Can I just say that as a lizard in this
heat? We'll never get that out.
Jeremy just has a lot of pep in his step.
Yeah, are you really thriving? Is that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that because it's nice and warm?
Yeah.
Is Jeremy?
I was like, I could go with a nice big rock right now, just like bask.
I think 50 degrees is probably a bit much, but let's say 40. Like it's really hot.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're at school, they'd let you take your tie off kind of thing.
And you can take your tie off maybe. If you're wearing a tie now.
Funny fact, Hing didn't go to a school where you had to wear ties, he just wore one every day.
What? It's neater. Anyway,
part of the air is like these wet ways, they like have all of the air circulation of the ship, all of the like various other things, they're all contained in this space.
Were there creatures, the creatures on board the Saturnine, were they little froggies or something?
Little wet boys.
Yeah, wet boys.
They were wet boys. That's probably made that wet way so wet.
Are there wet boys in this wet way?
None that you can see.
But there are some tinker gnomes. I'm sorry. I was thinking of that Beatrix Potter story of the elves that make shoes.
Which, in fairness, Carlo is always thinking.
Yeah. Taylor of Gloucester every day. Just take it up there.
Yeah, it's Carlo's mind elevator music.
Should we go there?
How do they get the leather? The Tinker Gnomes are leading you through these passages. They know these. This is as much a part of the ship for them as the rest of it. You know, like this is where they spend a lot of their time moving.
Are there like notice boards up with like notices to like the staff and stuff?
Yeah, like lunchtime yoga sessions.
Yeah,
and
some of them are like in jokes about like you guys. Like you get the sense, you can't really tell, but you get the sense that maybe you're kind of being mocked by like the staff. A bit. It's nice, but it's like
what's an example of like who's got the biggest roasting out of the Dragon Friends?
Yeah. There's a lot of like graffiti like freeze no, and then underneath it like haha, and then underneath it like seriously though freeze no, yeah. Oh. Big circle.
But they're like
it.
they're like super baffling memes because all of the crew has been charmed, so they're just walking down the halls being like,
well no you
I
can,
don't get
you can see like a pre-charmed time when it was just but then yeah there's during the charm graffiti which is just this weird like Lady Casilda is wonderful
like really erotic murals
yeah.
Yeah.
The best kind.
No one touch the walls.
So I think we should just sort of keep going, shall we? So let's get the ticket umps to lead on towards the bridge.
Oh, it's just so casually you say that. Just get him to go in front.
Yeah, they're leading the way.
All right.
Sweet. So, yeah, the ticket umps are kind of walking you through the back streets of the ship.
Squelch, squelch, squelch. Phil just saying that.
Filge provides our own folly.
Yeah.
So you can kind of, like, everything kind of feels normal. Like, while the rest of the ship has been redecorated and, like, thoroughly overgone, this part of the ship is mostly intact. But you can't help but shake the feeling that, there's something off about this space in general. Like, something not quite right.
Just going to do an investigation check.
Yep.
That's a 16.
Awesome. You notice, like, so the walls of this are obviously all metal, and there's like various piping and things going, but like at various points you can see sort of scratch marks as if like a huge shape has been sort of pushed down it. Imagine like a cylinder has been pushed through a rectangular space. That's kind of you just occasionally see stuff like that.
Wait, don't forget Jeremy wouldn't know things.
No, but what do we put Bobby in when we send him down? Do we put him in a chamber of some sort?
No, we put him in a hummingbird.
In a hummingbird.
Okay. And we send him to the ferry.
To Lady...
Titania.
Titania, thank you.
Thank you, audience.
I remember that. I knew I was just testing you.
As you're sort of walking, you can hear the Tinker Gnomes having a kind of chat amongst themselves. Like,
What do they say? What are they chatting about?
Do you mean the ones that are leading?
The ones that are leading, yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I mean... Getting to the bridge isn't going to be easy. I mean, we haven't told them about the turbines.
No, I mean, yeah. I figure we cross that bridge or turbine as it was when we come to it, you know?
Well, I mean, I can cross the turbine quick as a fish can jump onto a pan.
Yeah, you've said that. You say that all the time.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I couldn't help but overhearing because I was listening to what you were saying.
I thought I was talking in my mind.
What are these turbines?
Like it's nothing. It's really nothing. It's just, you know, there's some turbines, nut.
It's a slight complication is all.
Yeah,
what are they for?
Well, what they're for is, well, basically, they kind of help power the ship in a sense. So we can't turn them off, so they're always running. But to get to where we need to get to the bridge, that's the main water system, we're going to have to go through the turbines. And... turbines weren't really made to go through, if you know what I'm saying. They weren't really made to do that.
There's a joke that we say here about the building of the ship. It's so strange. We say it's like it was designed by a dying idiot god.
Yeah. We like to think, like, I mean, so many of us get killed jumping through those turbines to get where we need to go. And it is a real bother. We used to just take the lifts. We used to just go on the lifts. But, well, I don't want to ever go on those lifts again.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we see the turbines?
Yeah, they're just up ahead.
So they're like big worried boys.
Yeah, they take you into a room where obviously like the path that you're sort of going on comes out on like a sort of balcony, looking into a room that has a single pillar running through the center of it, a horizontal pillar, and on it is turning massive fan blades, basically, right in the center.
And is it so just one layer of fan blades?
Just one layer of fan blades. Okay. And on the other side, you can see another balcony. Clearly, this balcony was just designed to come in and check if the turbine was all right. It's not designed.
And can I say, it's great for that.
Yeah, let me just say, great for taking a look at a turbine, not great for climbing over the edge of walking across a rotating beam and diving through a turbine. That is hairy business.
So, how do you normally do it?
Like this!
Yeah, I just do it at a run. G- good luck! And he also runs through it. They all dive through quite quick and nimbly through this turbine.
Be very careful with what you said. They dive or they die quite quickly?
They dive. Yeah, they're obviously quite
practicing. It's still not clear.
With a V.
They dive.
So they're alive.
Okay.
Right, so they've run across a rotating beam, hopped down. Have they jumped somehow just like timed their walk?
So the rotating beam is spinning the turbine.
The axle, if you will.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. They're running along the axle, diving through a gap in the blades, running along the axle, climbing out on the back end.
And
what's under the
rotating beam?
Oh, no, crocodiles.
Again, was that put there by Johnny PlayStation? Yeah. Why would they put the crocodile farm there?
Why would they put it anywhere at all? That's what I used to say.
Do they talk, these crocodiles?
Look, if you can think of a better way of raising crocodiles in space, I'd like to hear it.
They need a warm, swampy, wet way.
Yeah. Jeremy dives in with the crocs.
Jeremy.
Yes.
Do you still have that immovable rod?
Oh.
Oh.
That you picked up in Friezo's in the tower?
Yeah.
Well, look, as the immortal one here, I feel like I should be the one to jam the immovable rod into the turbine.
You just gunk it up with you.
Also, I don't know that Friezo's body would stop the turbines, would it?
No, it would just get spun around and you would keep waking up and spinning.
It's actually really smart because that would feed the crocodiles.
Oh, yeah.
It's a perfect ecosystem.
No, because it would overfeed them. It'd be an eternal source of food and then they would get overfed.
No, people aren't killing themselves constantly.
No, but I'm saying if Freezer got caught in there, his leg would get chopped off. They'd eat that. It'd grow back when he is reborn.
Oh, no, I'm just saying in general, gnomes that do die can feed the crocodiles. It's a perfect
system. I mean, it's academic because Philip feeds the crocodiles.
Hi, everybody. I'm Philip. I'm feeding the crocodiles down here and having a great time.
You guys here for the feeding show?
Yes, please. Or do you have one of those ones where you dangle meat off a stick?
Yeah, he's got one of those little Madonna mics too.
All right. We got time.
So how fast is this spinning?
Pretty slowly. Like, it's quite a large turbine, so the spin of the axle is relatively slow.
Define, like, so we could just walk through it?
It's constantly, like, if you were just to go at a walk, you would have to constantly be shifting onto various parts of the axle.
So the axle is rotating as well.
Yeah. I would say it's spinning about as fast as, if you have a fan, like a pedestal fan, and you have it on its lowest setting.
That's so fast.
That's super fast. How many of your fingers have you chopped off, Carlo, trying to put your hand
through
a pedestal fan?
My pedestal fan is broken.
Yeah. I'm going to do it with my arm.
So for those listening to the podcast, Ben's doing the speed of about a broken pedestal fan. See, you can
shroop.
The blades shroop, aren't shroop, blurred. Shroop. The blades aren't blurred, but you couldn't just walk through them.
I'd say it's shroop, 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 shroop.
Got it.
Sorry.
I blacked out for a second there.
Okay, well, I like this Friezo and the rod idea. How about you guys?
Yep. Yeah, do it.
Go all with right, our so blessing, Friezo.
So Friezo's going to take Jeremy's immovable rod and then jam it into the turbines, and then everyone else is going to jump through. All right, ready? So
you're going to walk across the axle, jam it into the turbine.
Yeah.
Okay, so all you need to do is...
Is there not a ground I can go along?
It's crocodiles. No,
you have to walk along the axle to get to the main...
Also, Friezo, you can fly.
Oh, yeah, I'll fly. Sorry. I'll fly and do it. So I avoid the crocodile.
In many ways, I don't know why this room was designed as a challenge.
All right, so I'm going to...
I feel like we could do it without even... We could probably all just jump through.
Yeah. This will be quicker.
Okay.
I fly and jam the rod into the spinning blades to momentarily stop it. And as soon as I press the button, I'm like, go.
I hurry through. Best on hurry
and
through.
And you hear the ship. Something's wrong, obviously, because you stopped the turbine. So, yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Just everybody roll a dexterity check.
14, 16,
21.
You need 10.
I got 5.
All right. Filge, as you're running across, you jump through the turbine and slip the landing. Just roll a agility test to see if you can reach out and catch the beam as you fall. Just another, you need 12.
What do I add for agility?
Dexterity.
Is that a dexterity saving throw?
Yeah.
Because I have advantage on dexterity saving throws against effects I can see.
You can see this.
I'm getting two dice then.
Do it.
20!
So good.
Filch kind of grabs the beam, flips up like a pole, and then cartwheels to the other side of the balcony.
But still upset that you missed the feeding show.
Yeah, furious.
So, okay, now Friezo is going... Oh, fuck.
Go through and then grab the rod.
Yeah, but Jeremy wants his rod back.
I mean, will the ship crash if we don't unjam it?
We're going like to crash into it's in space.
You feel like it's under a certain amount of strain.
So, all right, Friezo's going to... Oh, fuck, okay. So what's going to happen is Friezo's going to fly through the blade, like through the other side of the blades, and now that he's on the other side of the blades, he's going to put one hand on the rod like that, so he's gripping onto it, and the second hand is going to press the button to unimmovable the rod.
Yeah, because you put the button on the wrong side of the blade. That was your
so
mistake.
Now... Friezo, so what happens when Friezo presses? Does he go? So
you're also going to have to. As in terms of will it off balance you? Just take another dexterity check. I'm going to put it at 15.
That is a 6.
Also, you're flying.
Six is less than
15. Yeah. So I think so. Does Friezo just get dragged?
Yeah. So you. No. In terms of like, you're not going to get spun. You're flying. You're in the air, so that doesn't matter. But as you flick it off, the fan blade comes back on and chops off the end of your arm.
Which end?
Right. So I guess
ironically, the end that is now. Oh no, wait. Because you were holding the rod with the other hand.
So it would be my Friezo's right hand that would get cut off.
So your right hand is cut off, but your left hand is holding an immovable rod.
Okay.
So how much hand?
No, because the right hand was holding the immovable rod. It was through the blades.
Oh, so then you lose the hand and the immovable rod.
Okay.
Jeremy, and that is a very full but very unhappy crocodile.
So Friezo's going to fly back down to Jeremy and say, Jeremy, I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is I did lose your immovable rod. The good news is I need you to kill me so I can regrow my arm.
No.
All right. Friezo dives into the crocodiles.
You jump into the crocodiles?
I guess.
Right through the fan?
Then you just mince yourself, don't you?
That's a 6. What happens?
You kind of bungle the fall. It's very ungraceful, but the consequences, you just plummet straight down, land amongst the crocodiles, and make a very irate customer of the crocodile feeder. Like, I mean, that's my job. I mean, what am I, chopped liver? Which is ironically what I'm feeding these crocodiles.
And they eat you. They eat you up.
Yeah, but what are the rules of Friezo's immortality?
So, Hing, you get chomped up by a bunch of crocodiles, and then a few seconds later you reappear slightly above the water where the crocodiles are and re-fall into that pit of crocodiles where you are once again devoured by crocodiles.
But I will say increasingly sated crocodiles.
Yeah
they get
this is the problem of before. I said if I fell into that crocodile pit, I'll keep respawning. They're going to get obese. They're going to get overfed and fat, these crocodiles.
Stop feeding them, please. Please stop doing this. My babies. My babies. An hour passes.
And it's just these crocs like, and they're like kind of gesturing. But they're so big now, they're kind of, their little arms are even littler.
The desperate pleas of Philip the crocodile tamer have turned to just despondent tears as he sits rocking and watches his beautiful creatures gorge themselves to death.
Yeah. But after a while, you splash into the water and there's a brief moment where you look around and no crocodiles want to eat you anymore. One of them's like, oh, I couldn't possibly.
Wait, he's still got to get back through the other side.
Without an immovable rod.
No! Oh, wait, did I find the immovable rod?
Did you look for it?
Yeah. I'll look while I'm on this side.
You've been too busy being eaten by crocodiles for an hour.
All right. Oh, no. All right.
Jeremy says to the dragon friends, is anyone going to tell him that he can turn into gas?
I did.
And Baston says, That's a full house, and pulls all the chips towards it.
Okay, I'm going to do an investigation check to see if I can find the immovable rod in the crocodile pit. That is a 10 plus investigation, so yeah, and a 12.
You can guess the crocodile that has an immovable rod inside it, because it's it has a very odd shape to it, the crocodile itself.
Jeremy!
Yeah?
Your immovable rod is inside this very well-fed crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you want it back?
So much. Ever so much.
Crikey.
The crocodile kind of rolls. The crocodile sort of just rolls in front of you in a constant, very slow crocodile roll, never breaking eye contact with you.
All right.
It's as if it wants you to take the rod from it.
It wants me to end its life?
Because the rod is immovable in its... Like, it's obviously accidentally...
Yeah, it's... Because of all of the hing that it has eaten, all of the friezo that it has eaten...
It's pushed up against the button.
It is pushed up against the button, and there is now an immovable rod inside this crocodile that it is rotating around in a horrific, horrific lollipop.
Just awful.
Okay. Friezo is going to take his Hexblade and perform some emergency surgery on this crocodile.
This is the first time you've used this Hexblade. It's to... Open a crocodile.
What are they normally for?
That's a good point.
All right. So I'm going to go up to the crocodile, and Friezo's going to sort of cut around where the immovable rod is to end the misery of this poor crocodile.
Yeah, put it like that, sure.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, he just looks a bit full. Yeah.
I mean, cutting a hole in something's stomach doesn't necessarily end something's misery. But I guess in Friezo's world it does. So yeah, you cut it out. You find the immovable rod, you unclick it.
I'm just going to roll to see how well I do the surgery.
Yep.
That's a five. That's a five?
You do it very call that poorly. A butchering. Yeah.
Am I a butcher?
Yeah, you don't so much cut a hole as you cut a flat crocodile in half, basically.
All right. So covered in crocodile guts. Do the other crocodiles react at all?
They're pretty full, but they're like...
If for me, that's pretty full on.
Yeah, that's... Are you going to finish your Friezo?
I'm full. I couldn't have another bite.
I can't tempt you with a...
No, like, I... Look, you've put on a great spread, Agatha, and I just... I'm very full.
Philip, is there any chance we could get this Friezo to go?
Oh, yeah, how does Philip feel that he's just seen Friezo get, like, respawned and eaten over an hour and then take out a magical... weapon and cut open a crocodile.
Philip is just he's pretty despondent at this point.
Did he know that his crocodiles could talk?
You learn something every day.
All right.
Now I've taken all your money in this poker game. Is anyone like interested in maybe going to the bridge?
We're just waiting for Friezo. Me think he's only got a couple more deaths left in him.
Okay, so this time. As I'm still, the flying spell still works. Oh, no, it would probably be cancelled.
It doesn't, you are on this side of the turbine.
I'm on the right side.
Yeah, because you were reaching through the turbine, so it chopped off your arm and you fell down on the inside.
Oh, yeah, because it goes axle, turbine, axle, bridge. Oh,
no, but he died via crocodile.
Oh, yeah, the crocodile's underneath all of it.
Oh, so I can just swim underneath.
The turbine's in the middle of the room.
So I can swim underneath the turbine.
You're on the right side of the turbine. Yeah.
Okay.
Because you flew back, reached through the turbine to grab the thing. So your arm fell on one side of the turbine, your body fell on the
other.
That's
what I mean. If I had to go back through...
I'm so sorry, Dave. I'm trying to keep it on track.
If I had to go retrieve... So what I'm saying is, the immovable rod, because that was in my hand, that would be on that side. So I had to go back through.
No, because the crocodile swam.
Swam through.
Cool.
You're on the right side of the turbine.
I don't know why you're arguing the toss here. You're on the right side of the turbine.
Sorry. Okay.
One of the Tinker Gnome who had the ladder lowers it down to you. And you climb up, and you're now back with the rest of the
dragon. It's a good thing I had this.
Hey, what you got there? A ladder. That's cool.
Cool. You guys are now standing at a passage which goes through, and suddenly it starts getting a lot wetter. This passage goes a little bit lower and starts filling with water at about waist height.
But there's no crocs in this area.
No crocs. Mm. Crocs were in one room that I didn't realize the crocs were going to be there, but they were.
It was a thing I said as a joke.
All right.
All right, okay.
If anyone is feeling a bit drowny, you can just hop on one of the taller people. Or you could all hop on the ladder and I'll carry the ladder.
So you got like a bunch of tinker gnomes on a ladder over your shoulder and you're walking through, they're just sort of hanging off it?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. All right, I'll let you do that. All right, so you guys are carrying, you're going through this waist-high water, just making your way through, again, the bowels of the ship. The Tinker Gnomes are like all hanging onto the ladder, like, it's not very far now. Once we get through the water, you'll get to a service ladder, up that, and Bob's your mother's brother, and you're on the bridge.
Cool. Dragos, what is our plan going to be? Are we going to try and send Baston out as fresh meat for Lady Casilda? Or are we going to get Frieza to do some sneaky lance stealing? Or should I just go in and chop a head off?
Why don't we do all three?
I'm a big fan of all of the above.
All right.
Wait, I didn't say something for Jeremy. Jeremy, what do you want to do?
Jeremy, Yeah. As Jeremy is pondering this, Jeremy, because you noticed it before, you notice again the strange kind of drag marks on the inside of the wetway here.
Can I do a look at it?
Yep.
And see, that's a nope. Don't worry about it. I see the drag marks.
You see the drag marks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he say anything?
I get a very low perception check, I'm like, huh.
All right. Here's that's probably nothing. okay, so I'll go in and seduce her. Frieza, while I'm seducing her, be a gas, be a fart, or invisible, and steal the lance. Filch.
Is this the corn gas?
I think it's corn gas.
Corn-flavored gas.
It's more of a corn gas than
Filch,
a fart gas.
If you don't hear the sound of slurping in 2 minutes...
Oh.
What? It's nondescript? It could be anything. It's probably fucking. Anyway... If you don't hear the sound of slurping, sensuous slurping, come in and kill her.
Wait, can you do a sensuous slurp for me so I know what to listen for?
Okay, ready? Nom, 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 nom.
Okay, so, and don't tell her you're a dragon friend, because maybe she don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll just come in as a hot, horny dude.
It does seem she has a type, though, which is like little guys.
Excuse me?
Well... If Bobson is her current consort and Bobby is a previous conquest...
Okay, maybe let's just say she hasn't met Mr. I. Andrerovich. Me. All right. Happy fucking me. And Baston goes up the ladder.
Did you say that before every time you fuck, Baston?
Happy fucking me.
He's like, what's this? Reaches into his pocket, pulls out a card. Happy fucking me. Write that to myself earlier, just in case.
Love, Baston.
Cool, so you guys get to the ladder, holding a ladder with a bunch of gnomes hanging from it. It goes straight up and right up there into the bridge. So you guys, that's the plan? You're going to go up first?
So you can kind of hear muttered noises from the bridge.
Maybe we should have a little listen first.
Yeah, I'll have a listen. What can I hear at the top of the ladder?
At the top of the ladder, you can hear the voice that you recognize as Lady Casilda.
Never heard it before.
And you also hear another... That's true.
Let's hope she says her own name while she's talking.
That is very true. So you hear a voice that could be anyone.
Is it... what's the level of sexy on a rate 1 to 20? Roll a d20 and tell me how sexy it is.
It is... 1!
1 sexy? Oh, I am not in... Oh, she sounds like a fucking hag. Ew. Oh, I'm really going to have to put it on.
You hear a voice, another voice, which has a sexy level of 8.
Okay. No 10s in there, only me.
and you hear... They're having a kind of... he's getting kind of chewed out. You hear her... The last little bit is like, find it. And then...
I promise you, Lady Casilda, there's no shard on board. I've searched everywhere. I've searched the engineering quarters. I've searched every single space. I promise you...
It's a planeswalker ship. It has a shard. And then you hear... if I could just for a moment... not to be a butt in Bobson here, but... no, there is no shard. I've tried to explain it for a week. There's no shard. Then why won't the ship move? That I don't actually know. So
Apologies.
It could be a problem with the turbine room. You know, I thought it was an odd thing for a space age in this day and time to have steam power. But you know what? I'm into it.
I mean, it could be, I don't know, you look very nice in the navigator chair, but that chair's not for you, I suppose. But, look, we're trying, and can I just say the works are coming along really nice. You've got to see the pool. The pool looks incredible.
He's right, Lady Castillo. I mean, the ship's coming along fabulously. I mean, the Saturn 9 2 is going to be even better than the Saturn 9
1. I want it called the Saturn 10.
Very good, Lady Casilda. Very good.
But it's not a very good cruise ship if it can't cruise.
Yes.
Ha! And you can tell that she's quite drunk.
Okay, I slink back down the ladder and convey the information that a couple uggos say are yammering disgustingly about how the shard is missing.
Is the shard the lance?
Yeah.
No, from your memory. So
they
this
the ship
is a unique ship in that most ships have a shard to be able to navigate to travel around the nine one worlds. Your ship is distinct in that it doesn't have a shard. It's powered by this device called the Lance, which is a very. you're right. It doesn't have a shard at all. It's able to navigate around, and it has this
because
device.
Johnny PlayStation just made it out of.
Yeah.
That's right, and it has this right. device called the Lance. And the thing about the Lance is it allows you to travel into wild space.
But Friezo is the power source.
The ship is beheld to the navigator's commands, and that is Friezo.
Oh.
Biometrics.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's go.
Same plan.
Okay. We burst through the
Baston charges up
the manhole.
Just Baston first, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and you're gonna guess.
And I'm gonna just as Baston goes through, Frieza's next. He's just gonna watch and wait and see what happens.
Your gas?
No. I'm still a body now.
Mm-hmm.
I will only turn into gas. I'll save my action to turn into gas at the opportune moment.
Wait a second. Can you be invisible though?
I could be.
Could you? Because you can you drive the ship as a gas, or could you drive the ship
as invisible?
Invisible.
I imagine I could. Yes.
Which one?
I think I could do. I think it would be easier to do it as invisible more than a gas. I imagine because I think if I sat on it as a gas, you could just wave me away and then have to float back. It'd be real crook.
So are you going to be invisible instead?
We'll see what happens. Let's see how this plays out. Because maybe we won't have to.
So Friezo, you're going invisible?
I'm second, I'm just waiting.
You're second, you're going invisible. Baston is first.
I'm holding just to see what happens because Baston's already through.
Okay, and so Baston, you're bursting in just alone?
Yep.
All right, sweet. You burst into the room, you see immediately Lady Casilda seated on the navigation throne.
Oh no.
Beside her are two sort of sycophantic members of the Chosen, and also a like very apologetic looking Bobson Dugnut.
And he's got his own little mask that he's like.
He's got a little cocktail shaker as well.
Yeah. And above her, you recognize the lance that you stole from the charcoal bazaar, a kind of spherical thing embedded above the navigation chair.
It would look, to an untrained eye, it would look like it was part of the seat. It's so perfectly meshed in. It doesn't look.
Does the seat look different than it did before?
Other than just some very plush cushions and stuff.
Right.
This is a very
plush cushions and a martini and a couple of packets of Lucky Strikes.
Right,
but beyond who are you?
Who are you?
What? No. Who let him in? This is a private room.
Oh, what's that? And I drop just some water behind me. Whoops, I've dropped my water. And I turn around and bend over and look over my shoulder and go, wink. And I say wink at the same time as doing a wink.
All right, I'm gonna get you to roll a persuasion check.
Yep, here we go. 15.
So just charisma, yeah. All right, Lady Casilda.
15.
15, yeah.
Let him stay.
Oh, I'm so sleepy.
Why are you so wet?
Because of you?
What? You smell terrible. Bobson, do you know who this is?
Shh. No talk out of you, little man.
He's saying this to Bobson?
Yeah, shh. And I walk over and I put my hand all the way over his face.
So he's wearing a little mask. Yeah, so I just sort of rested on his mask. Yeah.
Now, I see you've got someone to make you beverages, but do you have someone to make you breakfast?
That's me. Hi, everybody.
Sure.
All right. This feels like a distraction that is sort of captivating the entire audience. So Friezo's going to go invisible and maybe try and get the lance.
Okay, sweet. You're going to sneak in behind. Awesome. Jeremy and Filch, what are you guys doing?
Waiting and seeing.
Yep. And have I got my still little Tinker Gnomes with me?
Yeah, they're just hanging out on the ladder.
Yeah, are you guys okay here? Do you need to go back and do your work or?
I mean, this is like a holiday for me.
All right. Yeah, stick around.
I think Carl's sticking around to get the sword at the end.
And you can tell him about all the swords you've had.
Yeah, you guys want to hear about swords?
Well, Carl does.
Yes, please.
All right, Carl. First of all, I've got a sword which has fire in it. But
now slow down right now.
Okay. And also, I had sex with a orc and I got a sword off him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the throne room.
Lady Casilda, have you ever danced the Wyvern's Clench?
Friezo, as this is happening, there's only those few people in the bridge at the moment. It would be quite easy to get to the throne. The difficulty with it is Lady Casilda is seated in the throne.
So we need to get her out of the throne, do we?
Yeah, if you wanted to sit in the throne.
Okay, then Friezo is invisible as he is. Is there a bathroom in here?
Like a freshen up
a toilet for the on yeah. the a toilet for the bridge? Yeah, there's definitely a toilet for the bridge. Yeah, it's not in this room. That would be very odd.
No, but so Friezo's going to go into. The yes, bathroom.
He had a lot of classic sci-fi.
I'm just immediately like, thinking of.
Sorry, everybody. I was just on the loo.
Where is in Star Trek though? Where is the toilet?
Like
on the bridge.
It's well, I'm not saying this factually, but I would guess that in a sci-fi situation, you'd want the toilet to be immediately outside the bridge, so that the captain could yell orders should anything go awry.
What's happening out there?
What's going on?
All right, Frieza's going to go to the sink in the bathroom and plug it and turn on all the taps.
So your plan is to create a plumbing incident to lure Lady Casilda, who has hundreds of servants on this ship, that somehow she is going to be the person who gets up from her seat to go and resolve a plumbing issue in the toilet on the bridge. That's Friezo's plan here.
I think...
You spent a great amount of time in the wet ways discussing a plan, and it's come down to the old stuff some stuff in the sink and let the water run out.
Carlo, I think we've discovered something about your management style. Because if I was in charge of a ship and there was a plumbing incident, I, as a hero of the people, would want to be the one to fix it. But if you're happy to sit there on your throne in your ivory tower and not help the little guy and get one of your minions to go and fix the plumbing issue, then that's on you.
And have you done that? Have you put towels in there and put space towels in the space basin and yep. turned
all the taps?
Okay, so I guess Casilda hears... noise?
Well, no, the water will just start leaking out and there'll be water everywhere.
Oh, not everywhere. Well, it's a very big bridge.
Yeah, but sure, they'll start.
do
okay,
I see
here is exactly what happens, right? Did anybody Never mind.
Wait, no, hang on. The floor of the bridge, Carlo, is it carpet or is it, it's like...
Yeah, it's plush carpet now. Yeah, it is carpet.
Oh, well, the carpet's going to get moldy then, and then someone will have to come and fix that.
In like a month?
Well, I guess we'll just wait here then.
How long is this planning? Like, oh, she'll have to get up eventually. A month from now, that carpet will be moldy.
Well, maybe the sound of running water makes her need to go to the bathroom. Who knows?
Lady Casilda remains firmly seated in the navigation chair while she discusses with Baston.
She didn't answer me if she'd danced the Wyvern's Clench. Well, have you?
Not lately.
Well, do you care to dance? And he just does a slide towards her on his knees, and then he like
it's carpet.
And oh yeah, but oh god. And then he kind of leans his upper body back and like shimmies, and then he does like cross chops on his crotch, and he's like, dance with me, baby.
I'm going to get you to roll another charisma check. That's a pretty bold move.
Because I don't know who you are yet.
9 plus 2 is 11.
No, she's like, sorry. Well, first of all, thank you. And second of all, who are you?
I'm the man of your dreams, baby.
I can answer this, Lady Cathilda. That's Baston and Drurovich.
Hey.
You fucking snitch, you filch.
And that's the ex-Captain Filch!
But I'm not there, you just heard that through the grates.
I think, I heard her voice, I think she might be out of the grates.
No, I'm not!
That was Lady Casilda is me, like, guards, go and look down into that. So they walk over to the main entrance.
Check the tap thing.
Oh, yeah, from the other room you just hear a voice, where Friso putting on a voice, being like, oh no, it's flooded in here. Someone better come and fix it pretty quick. It looks like the kind of job that could only be done by the most powerful planeswalker on the ship.
You guys, immediately at the top of the staircase, two chosen stand over looking down into the shaft. They're like, there's someone down here, Lady Casilda. And then she says, very good. Let the, what are they called?
Baby?
Let the Oblexes sort it out. And at that noise, you guys, out of the gloom, come this immense figure with many faces and many external organs. Horrific sight.
Gross.
We've all got external organs. That might be all right. Like an arm.
That's not an organ!
What is it then?
These are nasty creatures of nightmare native to Carcosa. They're this shambling mass of lost, consumed souls. And they start closing in on you. It's like, I think you'd probably want to come out now.
Oh, they're not on the bridge. They're down in the
tunnel. Down in the wet ways. Okay. So they're between you and the ladder. You're sort of now in this ladder way with these weird, shambling figures.
All right. Well, you seem awful. We're going to go up.
Are you taking the Tinker Gnomes?
Yeah.
Oh, please do.
I just carry them on my ladder. Like, yeah.
I'm going to cast Disguise Self and appear as one of the masked ones before coming out of the grate.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Can you do that anymore?
Yeah.
Can you?
I got magic, baby. All
right. How does that work when they can see you?
What, could they see me? Or they said,
so well, they're looking down the shaft, I suppose.
Oh, so they could see, they could see us.
They don't know you're a figure. I'm just gonna roll a check. All right. Roll a little observation check for these bad boys. Yeah, they noticed you.
Okay. they saw me change.
Yeah, like, wait, did you just put on a mask?
Yes, I dropped it before. I was captured by this orc. She made me show her the way through the wet ways.
All right, roll a charisma check to try and bluff your way through this.
That's an 18.
Ooh. Oh.
And I say, shut up, dinkus.
No, you shut up. Now my friends are here, and they'll make you pay.
He's right. We will make you pay.
Yeah.
How dare you? How very dare you?
Nobody messes with dinkus. I thought he was sick this week.
Get up here, dinkus. You bloody champion.
Thanks, guys. The morning I've had.
And dinkus, can I just say this? I know that we're in a tense situation now, what with the Oblexes, Lady Casilda being a bit drunk and all this situation, but happy birthday, mate.
Can we get a cake? Is there a cake that we can get for him? No, hey, that's fine.
Guys, just you remembering is enough. Oh, all right, you guys are now all up on the bridge. except Friezo,
Baston
who is
of
invisible.
Indrirovich and Filge. I remember you. You I've not had the pleasure of meeting.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. It's mine.
Some of it's mine.
No, it's all mine.
Give it back.
No.
Friezo, you are standing in a slowly flooding toilet.
Where's the other one? Right. Where's the funny one with the jokes?
Friezo, at this point, because no one's coming in. No one's even trying to help.
No.
Friezo is just like, he's doing that thing where you unfurl a little bit of toilet paper and then just feed that into the toilet.
Now, Friezo, I'm going to say this at this point. I'm pretty sure that like a level zero or level one spell for a spellweaver is like project voice or something of that nature, where you can make a distraction or make a noise. So I just want to say I do love that you have committed to trying desperately to make a distraction.
Yeah. Practical
with
effects,
toilet
baby.
Paper, yeah. So good on you for using practical effects, yeah.
So, well, I'm just going to jam up these toilets.
Sure.
With toilet paper, because...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Famously...
Yep, huh?
As was discussed in a previous episode...
Yep.
One of Bobson Dugnut's premier obsessions on this ship is the unclogging of toilets.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to jam as much paper into these babies as possible. And then that same voice, the Friezo, the Warlock of 1,000 Voices, yells out, "Oh, someone's made a right mess in all four of these cubicles."
All right. As you stuff the toilet and flush it and make the voice, a little beeper goes off on Bobson Dugnut's wrist. He's like, "One of the toilets is clogged!" And he immediately runs out of the situation, bangs down the door, and goes to the toilet. Somebody's bloody done this! At which point, Lady Casilda stands up, worried that some danger has befallen the ship's toilet.
Wait, something is afoot? Oh, it's me. Ha ha.
Okay, so what I'm going to do then is when Bobson goes in to the toilets to unclog them, Friezo is going to jam him into the toilet, right?
Don't kill Bobson.
Well, it's up to him, really. I'm going to jam him into the toilet and maybe slam his head.
Yeah, that sounds pretty killy.
Under the just to knock him out. I'm just going to hit him with the toilet seat.
Knock him out in a basin full of water.
Well, once he's unconscious, I'll roll him over so his nostrils are out of the water. Even if the back of his head is in the toilet bowl.
Just his nostrils.
Like a hippo. Just like a hippo.
could go wrong?
Just make an attack of opportunity on this guy.
It's a... What's that?
11.
It's 11.
Yep. You slam his head under the toilet, knocking him unconscious, crushed by the very thing that he loved to take care of.
Okay. And then...
Do you do the nostril thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very importantly, stays alive. And then, with my final spell slot, I'm going to cast Disguise Self and become Bobson.
Ooh.
And then take his place.
And so you're going visible, becoming Bobson. Okay, cool. Meanwhile...
Sorry, very quickly. And I lock the stall from the inside so no one else... So everyone just thinks that someone's been in there for ages. I lock him in the stall.
Which would be much more convincing if there wasn't water running out underneath the thing because of the clogged drain. but yes, Baston.
Someone's drowning in the toilet.
Baston.
As Lady Casilda stands up, I assume I'm close to her, I want to put my arm around her and start dancing with her in like a waltz thing. Like grab and be like, I see you've decided to join me on the floor. And then I want to spin her.
All right, I'm going to get you to roll another charisma.
It's going to be a very fucking high check.
Come on, do the dance. No, 6. Plus
unhand
2.
Me and 2 of the favored grab you.
Oh, come on. Oh,
at that point,
enough.
Bobson Dugnut re-enters the room. Now all the dragon friends are in the room with Lady Casilda and a select group of the children.
Where's the funny one? I heard a fun little rumor about him. Did you know that he's immortal? That power. Becoming a god, I hear.
Do you have that power too?
No. I'm long in the tooth, that's for sure, but immortal, no. Love to talk to him about it. I have a couple of suggestions for him. Why, if we could just join forces.
No, he's dead. He's dead.
Filch, also, Filch, you also have to roll charisma check. You have to try and persuade.
Persuade.
Gisilda, that this lie is true.
Lying?
Charisma.
Charisma, yeah.
Deception.
Yeah, I got nothing.
That is a natural one.
It's a spicy number one.
Phil, the reaction you just had on stage of immediately bursting out laughing is the exact reaction that you have in the room. He's dead and then just start laughing.
I don't...
Oh. And then she realizes and just stands very still.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Mom, if I may, I did hear a rumor about the one you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And I sidle up really close to her, and I punch her in the face.
All right. Are you initiating combat, roll an attack of opportunity.
That's, what do I do for that?
just a 2d20.
Oh, 2d20. Okay. That's a 11 and a 2.
11 and a 2.
Yeah. 11 and a 2. It's a swing and a miss. So you saunter over to her and try and like...
I think, whoops!
I have something to tell you. Whoop! And then swing past her face.
You had a bumblebee on you. I'm very sorry, but I've got it. It's stinging my hand quite badly in my clenched fists, and I'll just go and take it out. Excuse me a moment.
Awesome. Lady Casilda is... Like, this action seems to immediately sober up. She becomes incensed with rage. She's like, you would dare to hurt me?
No, a bumblebee.
Lady Casilda? Say what?
A bumblebee was about to...
And she's had enough. She goes, you know what? Dispel magic. And she waves her hands. You become Jeremy. You become Friezo.
Are we in combat or...?
We are in middle of combat.
Yeah, about to be.
And she goes, well, all the gang's here. I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
My name is Jeremy Scaleson.
Uh-huh.
And watch out, a bumblebee. And I try to punch her in the face. 20!
Your sleight of hand works, and you punch her square in the face.
Missed the bumblebee.
What do I do for a punch?
D4. 2d6, you wish, mate.
Plus your strength.
My strength is
D4.
Plus one, okay. That's a 4.
So you do 4 including the strength?
Yeah.
So you do 4 damage.
She's an old lady, right?
Yeah, she's a very magic old lady.
Oh.
She sort of just takes the punch as if someone has just shaken her hand that is unpleasant. But she does get furiously mad. Double damage, indeed. She takes it like a really firm handshake that she's not interested in. Thank you for that.
Thank you for that. This is to remind you. This is very much a one-way street in terms of communication.
But you know, I have fun. We get to learn the rules.
Sure.
She flies into a fury of rage. She's like, you want to hurt me? You think that you mortals can hurt me? You accepted. Sorry about that. You think that you can cause hurt to me, Lady Casilda? Well, you've never seen the thousand torrents I can torments I could release upon you.
Yeah.
Is Phil just laughing?
Yeah.
Just got the giggles?
just downloaded all these movies.
No. I could...
And she takes out from her top clothes.
You know, lady fashion.
Yeah, a vial around her neck, and it's got you can see blood suspended around a kind of crystalline tube, and it is thrumming. She holds it up, and she says, Well, let's see how you fare. You know, I said all the gangs here, but that's not quite true, is it? And then it starts glowing hot, and out from a side door shambles the figure of a halfling, looking ashen, looking...
pallid in complexion.
With glassy eyes and a moustache. And he shambles over to the side of Lady Casilda, and she says, Bobby, my love, my darling, my eternal lover, kill them. And the necklace glows a little brighter, and he comes at you.
The undead Bobby Pancakes.
Oh, this little thing, I just sort of picked it up from map. I'll do that again. I'm very drunk. This old thing, yeah, I picked it up for a song from Titania, you see. She knows how enamored I'd become of my little Bobby.
You know, he, like, dead. Like, I mean, I want to be rude, but if
you are being rude, did you know that?
Well, maybe me don't want to be rude.
And that is combat. Everybody roll initiative. Oh, no. You are fighting the undead specter of Bobby Pancakes.
And Bobby and Simon, you will play Bobby.
Oh. Oh, wow. What's Bobby? Does Bobby know what he's doing?
He just has one prime drive at the moment, and that is to kill
the dragon friends.
Okay. Oh, goodness. No. How does initiative work? Dave usually does it himself.
That's true. I'm going to put you in an order.
I got 5, and he got 8.
Amazing. I got 5 too.
Amazing. I got 15. Amazing. 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 Awesome. Bobby strikes first. He moves straight towards Baston. The closest figure, the last to join the dragon friends. Obviously some deep-seated jealousy on Bobby's part.
And Bobby, how do you attack?
Does Bobby have any extra powers?
Just Bobby as you remember. He's got his kit, he's got everything.
Everyone, watch your ankles!
Fly kick!
Yeah. Wait, you going to fly kick me?
Yeah, I'm going to run towards you, leap up into the air and try and fly kick you in the face. 17.
I am a level 2 monk, as a bonus action, I'm going to spend a key point to take dodge as a bonus action.
Yeah, you may do that.
4.
You fail that, though.
I fail that dodge and get it kicked.
Bobby hits you square in the chest.
Ow. 2d6 is too many dice for kicks.
Is it? Well, I don't know. What is it, a 4?
Anyway, do you do damage to me? I bet you
it's both feet.
Oh.
Very little feet. That's a 1.
Ow.
You take 4 damage.
Ouch.
What's your... Jeremy, you have your move.
I have in my kit an acid vial. I'm going to hurl that at Lady Casilda's face.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Yep. Just make a normal attack. If it hits, it'll automatically do damage.
That's a 3.
It does not hit. It spirals off and hits... it's one of the Tinker Gnomes.
Oh, no!
Which one?
Philip. The crocodile guy, yeah.
He's come along?
He just came up like, Lady Casilda, there's something wrong with the crocodile. Ah! Oh, my God, my face! Could anything else go wrong today?
Oh, Philip.
Who's next?
Friezo.
Friezo's gonna make a run for the chair.
Okay.
Dashes? Does a dash? That was a 6, but a dash. Oh, it was a 9, actually.
Does you
it
have to roll for a dash.
You have to roll
for a dash.
Yeah.
Or a dash. Take for a dash. Chair.
Yep. Okay.
What are you gonna do in there?
When I sit in the chair, I'm gonna try and this is that thing. Impulse. There's never a plan with impulse, is there?
I mean, for some people who have really good instincts.
But okay, Frieza's gonna drive the ship back towards the Deadlands, which is where he wants to go.
So wait, you're gonna power onto the ship and tell it to go back to
the tower.
All right.
And as you sit in the chair, you feel it kind of not with your consciousness, like a glove that fits real well, and you feel in control.
Really good glove.
Really great glove. Feel in control.
All right. Yeah. I'm flying this baby straight towards the tower.
Okay.
Frieza's tower.
I'm furious because I've seen what she's done to my friend, and she's having sex with him.
Going into rage.
Going into a rage, absolutely. So I'm going to cast a spell on my friend Bobby with my wand.
Okay.
Dilja's wand. I'm going to be like, time for sleep, my little buddy. And I do that.
So this is going to take some skill to not really hurt him, I think. Like some sort of coordination.
And I'm so I'm casting the spell of sleep.
So you're clubbing him in the head?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... roll it at a disadvantage.
But
because
I get advantage.
You're trying not to kill, to do serious damage.
Okay, all right.
So roll, yeah. Take the lowest result.
That's a 3, but then do I get to do it again? Do something else?
Because of rage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so do another attack of disadvantage.
Yeah, and I'm like, whoop! It's still bedtime! And I get a 5.
You kind of just swing it around his head and miss both times. Baston.
Yo.
You've been knocked back by Bobby from a kick to the chest.
Well, Baston, being a canny adventurer, has made a connection unfathomably between Bobby and the little vial around Lady Casilda's neck.
Ah.
So I've got 4 attacks, but can I sacrifice some attacks to, like, try and cut the neck thing off her neck?
To try and sever the...
Yeah, the chain.
You can definitely do that.
Okay.
You will be rolling at a disadvantage, though.
At a disadvantage? But do I get bonuses because I'm sacrificing some attacks?
Okay, well then, yeah. Well, you're just rolling a normal attack.
What do I get plus 8 to hit. What do I need?
This is going to be a tricky shot.
Yeah.
Or are you not bothered about cutting into Lady Casilda?
Oh, fuck.
All right, we're going to say DC 17.
17?
Yeah.
So I only need a 10 or more. Wait, 9 or more. Yeah, I'm going to cut you anyway. Okay, here we go. 14.
14. All right, you cut the chain and the phylactery falls to the ground. It doesn't shatter, but it starts rolling away towards the rest of the party.
Ooh.
Lady Casilda screams, Bobby. And dives for the vial. It now moves to Bobby.
Who's in my direct sight?
Me.
I guess I'm just gonna run at Filge with my sword out and run attack. I don't really know how this is supposed to work.
You're just gonna attacking Filge?
Yeah, with the short sword.
Yep.
That's a 6.
Filge, which is
9.
Your armor? 9, 14.
It's 14.
It bounces off her armor. Bobby doesn't quite cut through. He doesn't have the strength of himself, his former self. Jeremy, you see Lady Casilda beside you dive for the phylactery, which is rolling in towards the midst of the group.
I'm gonna make a dive for it as well.
Okay.
That's a 9.
Plus your dexterity
with 5, so that's 14.
Awesome. You dive and just in front of you manage to grab the phylactery.
And I yell, Bobby, stop!
Bobby sort of shambles to a stop. He's just looking vacant, staring around the room. Friezo.
Friezo's going to continue the plunge of the ship towards the Deadlands.
So you're taking the ship down orbit?
Yeah.
Now, am I correct in thinking that it was difficult for the Heart of Glass to go into the orbit of this planet before?
Yeah.
Or was that the security system?
There was a security system that they've since disabled.
Yeah, okay, sweet. You're plummeting it down. Logan comes back online. He's like, you're back, hey? Great.
Yeah, can I just say, by the way, I'm really... whoever's in charge, I'm really happy to serve, you know? Governments come, governments go, and I am just sort of like a public servant figure. You know what I mean? Happy to work under...
Logan, so the ship's internal defences still operational?
Absolutely.
Then freeze this room. Is that a thing we can do? Can you gas it?
What? No.
No.
Wait, was that a moral objection from Lodgins, or
is it just an
practical
objection to the?
I mean, I can. I suppose I could reroute some of the noxious waste into this room, but this room is where you are.
Yes, but I'm immortal. Just make everyone else asleep, not dead.
Hang on, do you mean a sleeper sleep, or do you mean?
No, just regular sleep, not dead.
While Friezo is trying to work out how dead or undead he wants to make the rest of the dragon friends and the people on the bridge. Filge, you're standing over Jeremy, who has dived for the phylactery. About a meter from you is Lady Casilda, sprawled out on the ground, having just
dived. Yeah.
For the
I'm going to go and stomp on the back of her neck.
Fuck.
Well, her old neck.
That's pretty intense. Cool.
Just since it's on the ground and all, just begging for a stumping.
Are you still in a rage so you get advantage? Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Yep, great.
That is a 20!
Oh, I got two 20s!
Oh! Oh, shit. Wow. That is double 20.
Wow.
Felge lifts her boot up high above the prone neck, insofar as a neck can be prone, of the planeswalker known as Lady Casilda, captain of the Saturnine and one-time captain of the Heart of Glass, and brings it down with a sound that you had not encountered in your life and hope never encounters again, as her head separates from her body like a grape. And the force, the outward force of the boot hitting the floor makes the head skid far across the bridge and slam into the wall. There is a hushed silence among the favoured in the room. Jeremy has the phylactery. Friezo is piloting his ship toward his mad laboratory where who knows what dark magics he's unleashed upon the earth. Filge has an opportunity for one witty rejoinder as she has crushed yet another planeswalker from this world, and it is...
You're a planeswalker, me a neck stomper, bitch! The captain's back, baby!
Will Friezo pilot the Heart of Glass back to his laboratory? Will the immortal planeswalker have another trick up her sleeve? Find out the answers to these questions and more as we join the next adventure of The Dragon Friends. Good night!
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Michael Hing, Eden Lacey, and Simon Greiner, and were DM'd this week by Carlo Ritchie with NPC voices by Ben Jenkins. Guest this week is Carlo Ritchie, who I previously mentioned. Shakira Khan designs our website. The podcast is mixed and managed by the mysterious Breakmaster Beth McMullen and recorded live at Giant Dwarf Theatre with music by Dan and Liam Scarrett. Bye!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.